Hello and welcome back to Making Connections, our podcast series providing both informal and interactive discussions with industry leaders on the IT challenges facing organisations today. I'm your host, Nick Lazell, and today I'm joined by two special guests to talk all about robotics. Hi, Mike and Paul. Would you like to introduce yourselves for our audience today?
I'm Michael Blanc, the founder, president, and COO of Cobalt Robotics. As such, I lead our 200 employees across seven countries.
Hi, Nick. My name's Paul Lewis. I'm the Technical Services Senior Director here at Telehouse, looking after all of the data center operations, the design engineering, projects and construction, and service delivery and security teams. So sort of pretty much the heartbeat of what happens at a data center, there all those key areas fall under myself, my responsibility.
Fantastic. It's great to have you both with us today. Today, more industries are exploring the value of robotics. Deployments are increasingly replacing human checks and tasks in the corporate environment. And the consistency and redundancy enables efficiency that perhaps humans can't achieve every time. They can, for example, check doors, ID badges or sensors, making them ideal for the data center environment. Mike, maybe first question to you then. What are robotics solutions able to do today in the real world, I guess?
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to add, because I think that Hollywood has really exaggerated what robotics are capable of today. You know, and it seems every time that I'm turning on the TV, I'm seeing a new robot that's about to take over the planet, and AI and machine learning that are going to start to be our overlords. That really isn't the case. What we're seeing across robotics is a lot of technologies that we're very used to. For example, on our robot, we have a screen where people can interact, much like we're interacting right now over Zoom or something like that. You're going to see navigation we're seeing across autonomous vehicles that you can even see in a Roomba in your living room. And so it's the combination of these different technologies that are allowing robots to start to get out and actually automate different workflows.
And Paul, your initial thoughts on what robotic solutions are able to do for us today?
Yeah, obviously we've been exploring this and looking in this a bit more detail, and similar to Mike is we don't see robots taking over the world, but we see them being able to actually replace a lot of work streams. And those sort of work streams can be very manual and repetitive. And obviously what we see with the robotic side of things is actually getting a lot more consistency in the results from that. The robot doesn't become tired, the robot doesn't have a bad day, but obviously what we tend to get is that consistency and correct data from them. And obviously we've got to look at some aspects of how do we deploy that in our areas. And obviously for me, the robotics, they can be deployed in the right area, immediately flagging up any issues we may have across any of our type of facilities. And in effect, what we tend to do is sort of able to get to see issues as they're arising and actually get those escalated to the right departments without the need for an intermediate review of either CCTV or sort of an engineer goes up and has a look at an issue, comes back to the desk, raises a ticket. All of those issues where if you actually program the robotics and you've got the AI on that, they can actually flag that directly to the right department to get the instant response. So really it gets efficiency and improvements of what we're doing with the engineering time and the actual people who we send to that. So really exciting.
Yeah, and just to add to that, if I can, there's a new book that's out. I forget what it's called, something like Bad Jobs. But it goes through all of the jobs that exist only because of how the history of industry has come about. And it's almost accidental that people have had to perform those tasks. So when you really look at what a robot is doing, right? Many of our robots are going around at 2 o'clock a.m. going and making all of these checks to make sure that nobody has breached security, that there are no safety incidents, that facilities are all taken care of. Those things were really never meant to be tasks for humans, right? A human being should never be doing that. But it's always been too expensive to have a machine do it. Finally, because we've poured so much money into autonomous vehicles, you start to see that all of these prices have really come down on the parts of the robot. And for that reason, we're seeing a whole new industry of service robotics come about.
Yeah, kind of echo that, Mike. That's kind of where we're becoming interested in it, because of the various different deployments we can look at. We're only sort of scratching some of the services. What is the possibility? But as we said, is you can kind of deploy this across many different areas of my work streams and the areas of my responsibility. And it is that ability, as we said, is just the consistent and reliable output to what you actually want back. The 2 a.m. night shift is just, it's the graveyard shift. The robot doesn't understand that. The robot is, it's on its journey. So for me, that's really great. But obviously, as we go along, I see the robotics, just that they're going to become more embedded in the workforce. From my side of it, we need to look at our environments and how do we keep pace with our environments to match that robotics have got the ability to get around. Some of the drawbacks we see, a lot of my buildings are not automated. So we've got a lot of manual doors, we've got lifts. So we've got to look at that. And I know you guys are working really well on those type of solutions of how does the robot navigate in sort of some of the legacy buildings, but also as well for me and my construction division, how do I put the buildings of the future together? So obviously we don't need to have those sort of add-ons, but obviously the robots can just navigate freely through.
Yep. That's what's so interesting about seeing how service robotics have come about, because really you would see very expensive robots 20 years ago that were trying to do things like security and facilities. But back then, for example, LiDAR, which is our primary navigation, hundreds of thousands of dollars for that. Now, it's a tiny fraction of that cost. So essentially, you're going to see this graph of all of these robotics companies that have started, you know, since 2010, really. And we're facing all of those burdens and obstacles of old buildings not being built with robots in mind. And so that's why integrating with elevators, you know, we have partnerships with Otis and other big elevator manufacturers, and being able to open doors, those are really critical things for robots to actually automate these workflows that are going to actually perform for customers as they want.
I completely get where you're coming from. It's easy to understand that I think there is or has been a perception that robots are going to take over. It seems that actually we're talking about the reality. The reality is that, yes, we can use robots to supplement or replace some of those menial tasks. We're confident that the data can be more consistent and that they can take over some of those tasks that weren't designed for people to do. Some of those difficult, maybe laborious, mundane tasks. But are they actually taking someone's job? Are they taking over a function that a person does today completely? And what happens to that person if they do take over? Paul, maybe any thoughts on that?
So I kind of disagree with those type of statements from the media. Obviously, we have to look at it. Every time we have technology, there's always sort of a bit of scaremongering and sort of reticence to actually to go to those technologies. We only have to look back at where we started a couple of years ago in the UK of putting a smart meter in your house. Although it's not an automated task, but obviously that just means you can get to see where your energy is being used. But people thought, i.e. the energy companies, were going to look at where they're using their energy, how they're using it, penalizing for those data usages. And it's similar with the robotics. It's a new technology. We've seen it with the car plants and things, places like that, where the robots can actually really complement the workforce. And for me, it's actually given the ability to actually improve the efficiencies of actually the humans themselves, get them onto more tasks where the actual human is able to develop themselves further. They can do more training. They can actually sort of take on other jobs and allow the robot to just do those tasks that are just very repetitive. And actually, you're after probably maybe one in X amount of number of an instance that's not quite right, but will the human pick that up? You're after that human, may have done that 100 times, but on the 101st time, that door may not be fully closed. It may not be where we need it to be. The robot doesn't care if it's the 101st time. It will report it. And that's the sort of thing where we're actually saying, okay, do you know what? In this world, there'll be a sort of a hybrid, obviously, of the robots and the humans doing the sort of the various tasks we want them to do. And I'm really looking forward to kind of being able to actually take that workforce that we move away from what the robot is capable of doing and actually retask them and re-educate and retrain them into other tasks and actually make them more efficient in what they do.
Absolutely. And really, just to add to that, Paul, this is not a job that people dream about having when they're kids. Security guard turnover in the US is over 200% a year, right? People take this job as a gap job. They take it because they can't find something else. They often do it because they take it on as a second job. They're really just trying to make ends meet. But the task is not fulfilling. And I can say that, you know, I was a US Marine for 13 years, right? So I have been in Afghanistan sitting behind a gun again at 2 a.m., just looking at an empty desert, thinking, why do I have to be out here looking at this? Right? The guarding job of having to check those monotonous tasks and not see anything happen is really not one that's fit for people. That's one of our big things over at Cobalt, is that robots are not stealing humans' jobs. Humans have been stealing robot jobs for thousands of years, and we're finally now just taking them back.
Yeah, again, understood. And I think it's interesting to think of a data center environment. I guess, Mike, it's probably quite dynamic to maybe the car plant Paul referred to. You know, it's a static device. It's got a certain directions it needs to move in. Nothing changes. It's just 100% repetition. But a data center is a more dynamic environment. Things move, things change, things grow, things reduce. How do we think that robotics, therefore, can provide additional value in that more dynamic environment?
Yeah, well, I think data centers are so interesting because they really are a legitimate target, right? Physical security can almost not be overstated in a data center because as much as you want to look at uptime, and uptime is going to be what all the marketing is, uptime is the most important thing that everyone's tracking day to day. One of those black swan events could change everything and really are a great target for people that want to cause problems for people. And so what you really see across security and what robotics can do, I think there's kind of white swan optimization and then black swan prevention and response. And so, you know, on the optimization side, day to day, just making sure that you have uptime, you're going to be able to see localized temperature, humidity, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, all of those environmental sensors, right? Of course, there are sensors that are telling you what's going on in these large rooms, but to really see what's going on in front of a server. I think everyone has the experience of sitting in a conference room and feeling like they're the only one that has cold air blowing on them, right? That same kind of thing, making sure that that is evenly distributed throughout the space is very important to things like uptime, especially when you're working at the decimals that Telehouse is working. Also being able to get information immediately to engineers who might want to know what's going on their server. They want to know what a reading is on their server. Being able to have a robot go there and immediately report all of those results to them. It's very powerful for them to be able to check in on what's going on with their servers and be able to respond to any incidents that may be coming up. But further, as I mentioned, the black swan events, any kind of actual attack, any kind of infiltrator that's actually coming into these places, typically what you'll see in a data center, as with most buildings, is very strong perimeter security and then a lot of trust internally. And this has been a big change in the cyber mindset, right, of going to zero trust. And really saying, even once somebody is in and once they've gotten through their password, you still need to go and check that person. You still need to constantly recheck that person as they're on. And that's exactly what our robots do. We're able to go up to people and still badge them in. And we don't have the awkwardness of feeling like a human that's walking over to somebody and saying, should you be here? Because a human knows you've gone through the turnstiles, you've gone through motion-sensitive cameras, you've gone through all of these layers of security. Who am I to question you? A robot doesn't have any of those qualms. Right, so it can be very powerful in preventing those things as well.
So it takes a little bit of the emotional element out, the consciousness that a human might face.
That's right.
Yeah, no, Mike, I agree. It's also conflict because the challenge response, it can obviously, in effect, sometimes cause conflict. Who are you to ask me to do this? And they're going to get some kind of that human behavior in that asking. So do we want to put a security guard or another person in that position? Where if somebody's going along and it's a robot, it's a non-human aspect. They can badge, can verify. And it's, to me, it's those events where people become kind of accepted. And just because you've seen that person in the building 10 times, the 11th time, he may not be permitted to be in the room that he's got into. But because he's been to the building 10 times, there's a familiarity of that. So that's what the robot's giving you, is the ability to have those checks, those balances, to know those people are there. Also, as well, from my side of it, the data center environment, it's the things are limitless. Mike mentioned we have a building management system. So we see alarms, we see events that's happening within the data hall. But invariably, because it's not a static environment, that environment's moving, we could have an engineer in that location. I could be seeing a temperature rise on a sensor. That temperature rise could be because an engineer has just placed his tool bag by the doorway of a cot or cold aisle, and that's actually mixing the air temperature, and that's what's causing the alarms. Obviously, in a normal scenario, we would see that. We would dispatch an engineer. He'd go along 5 minutes, get up the elevators, go up to the seventh floor, walk along into the data hall and find the engineer who's propped the bag open and says to you, can you kindly remove your bag? Whereas actually, if we've got the robot there, actually, we can just do the instant challenge. So that can be pre-programmed into the BMS. If you've got an alarm, the robot is automatically deployed to that location. It can see the event, it can challenge the event automatically without any human actually being part of that. And it can just log that back into the system for an awareness and an FYI if that was to go again. So we could then, if we have to, we can speak to the engineer, has his exits in the building, or if he's a repeat offender, we can dispatch the right person and maybe a manager to go and make that challenge to explain why do we want the doors to still be sealed. So there's many benefits we see. So that's just one part of it. Also as well, the robot can give us instant eyesight. We got sensors everywhere in that side of it. But again, getting the real-time sensor information to actually something that is happening, temperature, humidity, a customer reports that in, that can raise a ticket. The robot can automatically go there. We can provide a real-time report back and actually update the customer in kind of near enough real time that, yes, we've checked it and we don't see any issues. And that allows the customers to actually investigate further on their side. Or again, if we need to, we can investigate further on our side and send in the right M&E, mechanical electrical engineer, to that location to check that. So really, in the data center environment, there's many things, the smoke, the events, the issues. I see lots of great possibilities of what we can do in that space.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, it's us, Paul. We have, so our robot, right? It's a 5-foot robot that's moving around spaces. Kids love it. You know, when you bring it out, employees pull out their phones. They want to take selfies with it. It's a very fun thing that's robotics. But really, the value of our company is owning the most boring machine learning data sets available to man, right? Being able to run all these scenarios, any alarm can tell you if a door has been forced open or held open. But that's going to be the simple alarm. It's going to be binary. It's going to say that happened. And really being able to see that this robot can go over there, and we've run hundreds of scenarios of, is there a tool bag that's holding that open? Did someone put a piece of tape over the door? Is the doorknob depressed? Any of these things that show signs of malintent or just neglect, right? We're able to pick that up and then be able to sort the wheat from the chaff and say, this really needs to be looked into, or this is just fine. You can clear that alarm out of the system.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's really interesting. I guess we've covered the real world deployments, and it's interesting to understand how this technology can actually be used rather than, Mike, as you said, maybe the stuff of films or sci-fi from the 1990s. These are real world, mundane, repetitive tasks that robots can really add value to. But that's kind of where we are today. And the future that was predicted in 1990 is maybe another 100 years away. But what's the immediate future in robotics? Paul, I guess from your perspective, any thoughts on where these deployments could potentially go within the data center environment?
Yes, for me, it's exploring sort of what is the possibility of how we get the integration with our builder management system. How do we get that technology learning, the AI working together with that? Because obviously we get a lot of sensor data information from that. How can we incorporate that into a robotic that can actually take that data, interpret it, and actually go and have a look to see what is actually happening to then provide a value back to us? So for me, there's a huge piece to look at where we can explore that. And that's not just within the data hall. But for me, it's if I look at the safety of people, currently we have a number of our team trained in fire response. The UK is a fire regulation, and we have some of these here that we have to do that. But in the future, why do we put a human to go and do a fire investigation to a point to investigate why something's gone off? Yes, we're trained. Yes, we can go behind doors and see if there's heat, smoke, or whatever at that point. But if the robot can integrate itself with a CCTV, can actually have all of the sensor and actually go to the location and prove whether we actually have any smoke or fire within that. So you've got the sensor and you've got the actual visual. Is that not going to be a safer way? Obviously, we need to make sure that the robotics can get into plant rooms and all these other locations. But we have a very sophisticated fire alarm system, but we still have to go and visually check that to see if that is correct or not. If we sort of a lot of smoke heads going off, you're pretty certain there is smoke, potentially fire. But obviously, it's the one head that goes off, then actually you still got to treat it like a fire. So you have to proceed with caution. So is there a way in somewhere in the change in our regulations that you could deploy robots if they were sort of built to a set standard and set sensors, they could replace the human aspect of that?
Yeah, just very interesting example on that point. Electric car manufacturers get very worried about lithium batteries. And once they have one of those overheat, it is a very sensitive environment for people to go into. And so our robots are actually trained to check all of those lithium batteries day after day and to make sure that their temperature is the same, and also to be able to go in there and investigate more and get more information in the event of an incident. So it's really those powerful things that robots are able to do in those kind of scary times. But also, just as you mentioned, Paul, integrating into the systems that you already have and making sure that we're not giving you a new report, we're not giving you new information that you need to check somewhere else or a new login, right? This is a collections asset for your existing infrastructure. And it's all about piping it together.
And I think that's also another point is able to have the snapshot of what those data values are, actually to see them in real time. So we've also got some higher risk plant rooms of ours. And I'm also thinking of other applications where actually, yeah, there is a risk to a human still, but actually could the robot actually take over those tasks? And actually, so the human only has to go there on an event or a fault, not have to go there on their checks. So again, there's a safety aspect to this that is another exciting area for me to explore as well.
So Mike, on that note, do you think the development then around robotics is going to be primarily in the area of software and integration and learning, artificial intelligence, or is it the physical capability of the robot that will evolve in parallel? What are your thoughts there?
This is what's so interesting, because I think there are a lot of people that are focusing on what's physically going to happen with robots. It seems you can pull up online robots breakdancing and pouring you a cup of beer, whatever it is. But really, it is these software and integrations. Robots need to be made part of the existing systems. And otherwise, everyone knows how annoying it can be to just get more data without more analysis and without actually clearing events. And so we really look at ourselves, I often say we're the spider that eats the other insects, right? We are a piece of tech, but we go around to all of the other pieces of tech making noise, all of the alarm sensors, all of the systems that you have that are telling you to do something, and we start clearing those out. And so I think it's really about integrations with elevators, with doors, with existing physical security systems, with facility systems, all of these things of making that data useful and putting it in a place that people are used to dealing with it, right? As we can improve that management, that's where robotics are really going to be able to take off.
So I guess in summary then, we've talked about the myth that maybe is the fact that robots are going to take over the world. We've looked at some real value deployments within the data center environment. And I think what I take away from this is that robotics is real. They aren't going to replace the human workforce. In fact, they're going to create an opportunity for that human workforce to upskill and develop and focus on more complex, less menial tasks. And then looking to the future, the big angle here seems to be the integration. So I imagine that the more systems, the more functions that robotics can integrate with, then the more value that we'll derive from that technology. Well, great. Thanks. It's been fantastic to speak to you both today. Thanks, Mike and Paul. Great to be with you.
Thanks so much, Nick. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Mike.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Making Connections podcast. And I hope you'll join us for the next episode soon.